Peak Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
I talked a couple weeks ago about the transition town model and its importance for responding to the twin challenges of peak oil and climate change. Basically, the transition town model focuses a community on the energy-poor but vibrant local economy that it would like to see in the future, and people roll up their sleeves and start creating it. What happens if the transition town model encounters plans for a project that many people in the community thinks undercuts their ability to create the transition they need? Conventional political movements would oppose the project. Transition towns are based on cooperation, not opposition. So how do they respond? Let's take a concrete example that we're facing here in Vermont. Entergy Corporation's nuclear power plant, Vermont Yankee, is slated to close in 2012. The Louisiana-based corporation that owns it wants to extend its license for 20 years. The Vermont legislature has the authority to approve or disapprove of any license extension. What role should Transition Town Montpelier or other transition towns around the state play in that discussion? I'm kind of thinking out loud here. Here are my thoughts at the moment. People have many reasons for opposing nuclear power. Nuclear power plants, they say, cost too much. Mining uranium endangers workers and others in the mining towns. Operating plants are at risk of catastrophic accidents. Low-level releases from operating plants constantly endanger the lives of those who live near the plants. No permanent solution for high-level nuclear waste has been constructed in nearly 70 years of work with nuclear energy. And the use of nuclear power increases the chances of nuclear weapons proliferation. While many people find these reasons to oppose nuclear power plants compelling, none of them are reasons for a transition town to jump onto the anti-nuclear bandwagon. There are other groups that oppose nuclear power plants, and people active in transition towns are free to work as part of those other groups, if they wish. Transition towns are about what we can do together, locally. I expect transition town projects to include a wide variety of local people. When the town plants nut trees along its boulevards, I'd like to see people from the Chamber of Commerce, as well as the food co-op, breaking ground. When the town creates a biomass district heating plant, I want to see people who would benefit from it work together, regardless of their position on nuclear power. And when the healthcare transition group takes a census of locally grown medicinal herbs, well, the stereotype says that promoters of herbal medicine are not likely to be strongly pro-nuclear. But I don't want to take that for granted. My bottom line is to be suspicious of anything that undercuts the capacity of people in transition town movements to work together within that organization. In the New England town meeting, we learn the skills of disagreeing with neighbors on one issue while working with them on a different one, all within the structure of town government. But town government here has been around enough hundreds of years to be resilient in the face of those internal dynamics. The transition town model is brand new and not so resilient yet. We need to keep a big tent and focus on what we can accomplish together, not what we can oppose that someone else plans. Now, I recognize that transition towns sometimes do ask other groups to take some action. The original transition town, Totnes, England, has a town policy of making any new plantings on public land part of an edible landscape. Presumably, that took some lobbying of the city government to get that passed. Still, it's lobbying for something rather than against something, and it is about local action, not state or federal action. On the other hand, there's an argument that the Vermont Yankee nuclear power plant, by its very existence, decreases our energy resilience. The governor's Department of Public Service is generally favorable to license extension for the nuclear power plant. One of his appointees recently commented, however, on the lack of new generating capacity in Vermont for the last 10 to 20 years. Neither renewable nor fossil fueled plants have been built. The governor's appointee admitted that one reason has been the long-term contracts with Vermont Yankee and Quebec Hydro, accounting for 2/3 of the electricity used in the state. It's hard for other energy sources to muscle their way into the picture. Interestingly, one electrical co-op, Washington Electrical Co-op, dropped Vermont Yankee contracts a few years back and now gets most of its electricity from renewable sources. They've held rates steady while doing so. So maybe that's an area for transition towns to pursue, specifying that the town or the utility that serves it make a transition to resilient forms of electricity. Transition towns can also show how viable low-energy, renewably powered economies can be. That benefits a town and its residents directly. And if anti-nuclear activists want to seize on the example, well, it's in the public domain. I'm Carl Ettenayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.